Rimmer Brown on 702.
It is 22 minutes to 9 o'clock. This is the Karima Brown Show. You are listening to 702. Now, former Busasa Chief Operating Officer Angelo Agrizi told the Commission of Inquiry into State Capture earlier today that the company paid $30,000 to journalists to write good stories about Busasa. Agrizi says he was approached by the company's executive director, Papa Leshabane, who requested an amount of $71,000, with $30,000 of this set aside for payment of certain journalists. The journalists Agrizi names were Ntuli, who worked either for The Times or The Star, Ms. Pinky Mkwabani, who worked closely with Leshabane, and an Eastern Cape journalist based, named only as Bongs. The only full name to be mentioned was Pinky Kwabani. Pinky has since distanced herself from these allegations. She has asked to be taken, she has taken to her Twitter account, rather, to set the record straight after we hoping to speak with her tonight. However, she declined our invitation and instead emailed a response. She said another big revelation from Agrizi's testimony today was about monies paid to former South African Airways chairperson Dudu Mieni. Well, joining me now to look at Agrizi's bombshell confessions today is Ferial Hafaji. She is the editor of Daily Maverick. Ferial, good evening. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Karima. I was looking forward to be on it with Pinky.
Yes, no, we were also trying to get her on. She kind of oohed and aahed and then eventually pulled out, saying that she's not going to participate. And this has been the case with quite a lot of people implicated in the commission. Sure. But let's first listen to the clip where Mr. Agrizi actually talks about the fact that consultants hired by Busasa paid to threaten journalists who wrote negative stories.
Anything about threats against these journalists and how those originated to your knowledge?
Well, threats, if anybody comes up against Busasa, they would be threatened. Chair, you must remember there's endless money in that vault. So money would be used. They would buy burner phones. They would, I'm talking now 30-40 burner phones.
What's a burner phone?
It's basically a phone that is not rickered and can be destroyed. What happens is they would purchase these phones from, I don't know exactly where, but the Oriental Market or China Mall, or I don't know where they would find them, but they would then issue them out to the person, like Benedicta Dube, or to somebody else, and just ask them, give them the journalist number, restrict the numbers only to that journalist, and let them phone them all hours of them, night and day, and threaten them. Or just phone them and just constantly harass them.
Do you know of any journalist that was in fact threatened in this way?
I recall getting a phone call. I wasn't involved directly with it at all. But I recall getting a phone call from Mrs. Ferial Hafaji about the attacks on Adrian Besson.
Well, there, from the horse's mouth, you hear it. Ferial, can you recall the concern that you raised about the way in which Adrian Besson was singled out?
I must say I'd forgotten about Mr. Angelo Agrizi, of course, until the past fortnight. But I do remember us being in serial wars with Busasa because they had a lot of money. They had really, really expensive lawyers on retainer, Mr. Brian Bebach, who I believe is also still the chair of the Wanderers Club. and so it was very difficult to fight, Karima, because they were going to war with you on all fronts, because yes, Adrian was really a dogged journalist. For 12 years, he's kept on at this Busasa story.
Now, the fact that Busasa, literally penetrates almost every single department of government, including, yes, as Mr. Watson mimicked, they could make the president do what they wanted him to do. What kind of added dynamic does it add to the state capture, which we initially, of course, focused only on the Guptas? What does it tell us about the way in which the last 23, 24 years, you know, has been about? I'm sure there are other families that are implicated as well.
I think what's clear, I've been doing a little bit of checking, and I think that they're still running contracts to the value of about R500 million a year at the moment. And I think we have to ask some pretty tough questions about whether that's just going to be allowed to continue for the next 2 years that this commission will sit, or is something going to happen about those contracts? Because I think you and I have spoken many times, and really for me, they were almost a more sophisticated version of the Guptas, in that the repurposing of the state was happening at so many levels. It was in our prisons, at the airports company, in places that are national key points. And what I'm beginning to think through is, what does that mean for national security? Surely surely action needs to be taken before the 2 years is up. Obviously, today I think was a devastating day for us as journalists, and I do hope that that truth will emerge, because, as you know, SANEF is going to have its own independent inquiry into capture.
Now, the one thing that Mr. Agriti did speak about was also the payment to Dudu Mieni. Let's take a listen.
Arising from your own duties in relation to the payment of cash and the recordal of cash payments for various persons, as you've testified, were you aware of any payment relevant to Ms. Mieni?
Gavin was quite open. Gavin Watson would tell us that he's paying her 300,000 rand a month, and he always say he hopes that she's giving it to Zuma. And the payment was for the foundation, apparently, for the Jacob Zuma Foundation.
What position, to your knowledge, did Ms. Mieni occupy at the time?
She was at the SAA. Are you talking in respect of...
In respect of the foundation.
I think she was the chairperson of the foundation.
All right. How was that payment made? Cash, check?
Well, the strange thing is it was always cash.
And so, to whom was that payment made?
The payment was made to Dudu Mieni.
Now, these are quite shocking allegations. Obviously, they have to be tested. One of the things, Ferial, that I've tried to explore with academics that's worked on state capture, particularly with people such as Professor Mark Swilling and others, is that there is an attempt to try and almost use this commission as a stave off for criminal investigations that need to go on. Surely the hawk should now already have been raiding Gavin Watson's house, Ms. Dudu Mieni, who basically refused to cooperate with any process from Parliament right through, should at the very least have received a visit from the hawks and been questioned extensively. I mean, this is a woman that is alleged to have been present when board members of a key state-owned enterprise was going to be removed because they didn't suit, their interests. And she's a random person. I mean, she comes from Amgeni Water Board, but she's clearly attached to President Jacob Zuma. Why is it that our law enforcement agencies are sitting on their hands and the NPA is not issuing warrants of arrests?
Well, I suppose to answer that question, we have to go over to the other Commission of Inquiry, the Mokolo Commission of Inquiry, which is hearing parallel evidence of exactly why that isn't happening.
Yes.
It's quite clear that the NPA, we've known it, but now we're seeing the evidence of it, was completely captured. And you saw last week, for me, it's Milimouth's decision to stop the prosecution of former President Jacob Zuma's son, Dudu Zani. Clearly, those networks go much deeper than the deputy Nomkhobo Jiba and Lawrence Mrwebi. They've got their people in there. So Shamila Butoy, who starts on Friday, she's going to have a work cut out for her. And I suppose the first thing, the question she'll face when she has probably a first press conference on Monday next week is, do you agree with the strategy of holding off for 2 years? Because all, I would argue, the best part of our civil society, be it Outer, be it CASAC, etc., they're saying you absolutely cannot wait. This company is still active everywhere across our state.
Absolutely. There's one thing I want to ask you as a final question. Apparently in the NPA Act, I'm not sure, but this was mentioned by Dave from the Corruption Watch. He was arguing that there is a section that allows the president to empower Shamila Butoy to put together a crack team to do this. Because, I mean, in real terms, her two deputies are facing charges of whether they fit for office. Yes. Norco in KwaZulu-Natal is completely discredited. There's no way that these people are going to help her, investigate this matter. Can he, will he, and is she likely to ask for the specialized team?
I think she's going into a viper's pit. I've been trying to interview Advocate Mopone Noko in KwaZulu-Natal. She absolutely put her up. She's battened down the hatches on getting any information out. I hope what Shamila Butoy, the new NDPP, is going to do is work like she worked in the investigative task unit, investigating KwaZulu-Natal killing fields with people like Howard Varney, where they were a specialized team outside of the apartheid structures who ensured that justice happened. I hope she's going to copy that model in dealing with state capture. I think she's indicated that she is going to do that.
All right, that's where we will leave it. Feral Hafiji from the Daily Maverick, thank you very much.